Good morning. It's kind of a feeling to stand in front of you here while another preacher is preaching downstairs in our Gemeinde. And it all has to do with the Evangelical Alliance week of prayer. As Martin is preaching right now in the FEG, I am here and the pastor of the Brethren Church is preaching downstairs. So we have a whole mixture of preachers this morning. But I like to be here among you and have this time of worship and listening to God's word. Eventually, somebody with a different background and culture, Peter said to James. Both scrutinized the man from head to toe who was talking with Jesus. Pretty exclusive designer clothes, mentioned James. Custom-made, probably. Absolutely right, Peter replied. You can see that this stuff is not from the Salvation Army. If he decides to be with us, hopefully we'll experience better times financially. Jude, who was in charge of their common money, had listened to the short conversation. He held a little leather bag just in front of their eyes. There were only a few coins in it. Hey, Fox, please be quiet, whispered Andrew. I want to know what they are talking about. Okay, man, the others replied. And then they followed the discussion between Jesus and this young man very carefully. We find the whole story in the book of Luke, chapter 18, verses 18 to 27. Please turn to me to this passage as Silke comes forward and reads this for us.
Well, as Martin already said, the reading for today is from Luke chapter 18, from verse 18 to 30. And you will find it in our church Bibles on page 1052. Page 1052. The rich young ruler. A certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. All these I have kept since I was a young boy," he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he became very sad, because he was a man of great wealth. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard this asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus replied, "What is impossible with men is possible with God." Peter said to him, "We have left all we had to follow you." "I tell you the truth," Jesus said to them, "no one who has left home or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come eternal life." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. I will focus on the verses 18 to 27 this morning. So Jesus is talking to a man who obviously was very successful. He was young, had an outstanding career, money, a great image, and on top of this, he was godly. At least, he says it in verse 20 and 21. In verse 21, he says, as Jesus mentions all the commandments, "All these I have kept since I was a boy." He says that he has kept all these things? Wow. Mothers, listen. Isn't he the perfect son-in-law? Wealthy, good-looking, and godly. Perfect. Very smart, he's asking an extremely important spiritual question. How can a man get eternal life? Just a second, please. Why is a career man like him asking a question like this? Because for him it's not enough to have a certain social status, financial security, and religious tradition. It's obvious, at least to him, that image, money, and religion automatically mean that one has eternal life, fulfilled life. And I think that this man has an outstanding chance. Because very early, much, much earlier than others, he recognizes that his previous life wasn't everything. For many people, it takes a whole lifetime to come to this very point. And because he is spiritually open, he comes to Jesus and asks him this one important question that we find in verse 18. "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Eternal life. What a question for a young man like him. Eternal life is much, much more than life after death. It's with a new quality, life out of God's fullness. The biblical perspective on eternal life is that it starts before death and continues afterwards. Please turn to me to verse 19. Jesus answers, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." What a tough answer to a polite question. Very often in the whole New Testament, Jesus claims to be the Son of God and also to be one with his Father in heaven. Why does this answer here at this point sound very much like, "I am not good. Only God is good. Nobody is good except him"? I think that Jesus says to the young man, "If you call me good, you need to accept that I am God. Because there's only one who is good, and this is God." Jesus wants the young man to think about the true identity of the one he is talking to. Jesus is much more than a wise rabbi or a gifted teacher. Jesus is the one and only Son of God who became human. Only with this in mind, we can understand when Jesus challenges him later in the story with the following words: "You need to follow me if you want to have eternal life." No other human being can say this. No other than Jesus Christ himself. And then Jesus says, "You know the commandments," verse 20. "Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother." Finally, Jesus gives a list of very concrete actions. And this young man is so the type of a doer, and he needs practical advice for the next steps on his way. That was the reason behind his question. And now, Jesus gives him a to-do list for the project eternal life. And this young man just likes it. Because as a young professional, this thinking style he is very familiar with. It's just good because you know exactly what you have to do. Do this and that, and then in a certain time, you are in heaven. Very easy. Just check the list. Take a closer look. This is not only a working style, but also a lifestyle. And you could summarize it with the following words. And this is my first thought this morning. Living out of our potential. Living out of our potential. I guess all of us wish to have quality life. A life that is fulfilling and worth living for. Especially at the very beginning of a new year, we have wishes like this. The year 2009 is like a brand new notebook at school or in one of your classrooms at the university. There are thousand ways to fill this new notebook. I don't know how it was when you went to school. Whenever I started a new notebook, I made the resolution to write very careful and neat. And I need to tell you, it worked perfectly. At least on the first page. Sometimes even on the second, but rarely on the third, fourth, and so on. You probably know what I'm talking about. It's pretty much the same with this brand new year. You know best what you want to change in your life. So this is what you do. You roll up your sleeves and start working. I'm convinced that we all are very much influenced by the mindset, everything is possible. Most of you probably know the German advertising slogan, "Geht nicht, gibt's nicht." So something like, "Never say no way." This sentence is almost philosophical in our postmodern society. Especially as long as we are young, we think that there are infinite options to make the most out of our lives. But then, face difficulties, serious difficulties for the first time. Our dream job doesn't work out. Our dream partner suddenly is dating another man or woman. Then the belief in our own unlimited potential gets its first challenge. Let's face it, we are limited regarding our resources, regarding our lifestyle, regarding quite a lot of things that are normal in our lives. Here are some practical illustrations. Thank God we are still having one of the world's best healthcare systems. But can we really do to avoid a serious illness like cancer or Alzheimer? I'm sure that the parents among us here this morning did and do their very best in caring for their children. But what can you really do when the kids start choosing their own ways? Maybe even ways that are wrong, at least from your perspective. And the last example, fortunately, you have a good job. Very fun. You are highly motivated. But what can you really do when your company goes bankrupt these days? No matter whether we like it or not, our human potential is very limited. There are so many things in life that are possible. Let's go back to the story. Jesus says to the young ruler, "Keep the commandments." Verse 20. And now listen to his answer. "Jesus, I have kept them all." Oh my goodness, he is not suffering from a low self-esteem indeed. And the interesting thing is that Jesus doesn't say anything against it. Did you notice that Jesus is citing only from the second part of the Old Testament law? It's the part that deals with our human relationships, lying, stealing, and all the other points Jesus mentions here. The crucial point in the young man's life seems to be the first part, which has to do with our relationship with God. So obviously he was quite good in dealing with other people. His problem was his relationship with God. And because of that, Jesus says in verse 22, "When Jesus heard this, he said to him, 'You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come, follow me.'" Selling everything to the poor? Does this really mean that everybody who wants to become a Christian needs to abandon all his possessions? During church history, some people like Saint Francis of Assisi were convinced of living in poverty. But Jesus never made a strict law out of this thought here. It's not a requirement to come to Jesus to sell everything and give it away. But anyway, we are questioned this is. Our money and our possessions quite often are a great danger for us, because they have the potential to become our gods. The young man decides to hold on to his wealth instead of living with Jesus. And therefore Jesus says to him, and we read together verses 24 and 25. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? Indeed, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." The young man is sad and he goes away. "That's impossible, Lord. That's just too much. I go away." Living out of our own potential. That brings me to the second point: living out of God's potential. The disciples are shocked. And they ask Jesus, verse 26, those who heard this asked, "Who then can be saved?" "Lord, this man was perfect. He was godly, wasn't he? And think about the money. What could we do with all this money to reach the world?" All of a sudden, they understand that the radical statement of Jesus is affecting their lives too. Suddenly, it's very clear to them that nobody has a chance to go to heaven. Nobody. Finally, they've got it right, that our human efforts are not enough. The only way out is to show God our empty hands. Stay before Him and say, "Lord, I have nothing to bring. I can't earn the way into heaven. Please, Lord, fill my empty hands." That's the only thing we can say. And Jesus said, "What is impossible with men is possible with God." Jesus himself is the best example. It's possible that the Son of God Almighty is in a manger as a little baby. But with God, it's possible. It's impossible that the Holy God is carrying our sins through the cross and pays the price for us. But with God, it's possible. It's impossible that a dead person comes back into life after spending 3 days in a grave. But with God, it's possible. What is impossible with men is possible with God. But how does it work? Sometimes we think it's very difficult, but it's not. We only need to come to Jesus and say, "Lord, here I am. I can't manage it, but you can. I can do nothing to get eternal life, but you can give it to me. Please, Lord, do it. Please, Lord, give me eternal life. This brings us to a short last point. Living with Jesus, discovering his potential. Living with Jesus, discovering his potential. Even though the focus of the text, of the whole passage, is on eternal life, God, of course, is able to intervene into our lives on this earth. Today, in this coming week, every single day, he is able to change everything. Broken relationships can be healed. It's possible with God. Alcoholics and drug dependents can be set free. It's possible with God. Atheists can become devoted followers of Jesus Christ. It's possible with God. The despaired can get new hope. It's possible with God. Wealthy young men and women can inherit eternal life. It's possible with God. Frustrated Christians can become happy disciples again. It's possible with God. God's potential is so much bigger than we could ever imagine. And I'd like to close with words of a Christian song. God is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able, more than able, to make me what he wants me to be. He is able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. He is able, more than able, to make me what he wants me to be. Amen.